In 2025, we earned over 4 million points and redeemed about 2.2 million of them, all in the same year we planned a destination wedding and a multi-country honeymoon. This episode is a little different. As you're hearing this, we're probably somewhere between Hong Kong, Fiji, and New Zealand, maybe even driving an RV on the wrong side of the road, but we recorded this before we left so we could look back on everything 2025 threw at us. The wins, the mistakes, the wild redemptions, buying points on purpose, our highlights of the year, and more. We're breaking it all down and talking about what we're aiming for in 2026.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to Revolutionizing Your Journey, your go-to podcast for all things travel, points, and miles. I'm your co-host, Taryn Gisbert, and today we're wrapping up an incredible year. 2025 was a big one for us, from earning and redeeming millions of points to juggling wedding planning and back-to-back trips. We have had some amazing wins, learned a few lessons, and now we're excited to look back at everything we accomplished before heading into a huge travel year ahead. So let's get into it.
Awesome. Welcome, everybody. This is our 2025 wrap-up. DeAndre Koch, your co-host here as well. And this is our second full year doing this podcast. We did our 100th episode giveaway earlier this year, had some incredible, not earlier this year, because a couple of months ago, had some incredible prizes that we gave out as well. So congrats to those winners. And really, a thank you to all the listeners. And that includes the ride or die day ones and all of the new ones who found the show this year. This show keeps growing because of you, and that's not just you listening, but also the DMs, the questions, the topic ideas, the conversation we have in our WhatsApp community chat, the Facebook group. All of those things is what continues to motivate us and also keep this community alive as well. And I love hearing about how points and miles have changed all of your travels. And so just want to remind everyone that we always love suggestions for new guests, listener stories, and feedback. I know we've had multiple people on the show that our listeners have been listeners and have just talked through some incredible trips they've taken in our WhatsApp chat. And that's how they ended up on the show to share their story as well. And so not only to not forget about the WhatsApp community chat, but keep in mind, as always, our reminder, you can catch all of these in video form if you're a listener on our YouTube channel. And for those on our YouTube, we do have our audio only quick hit episodes that drop every Friday. I know that is a huge hit with our listeners. So if you're not checking out our audio only versions on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, highly recommend it because that's how you get your up to date points and miles news every Friday.
So this year has been wild. Between planning our wedding, doing our bachelorette parties, traveling basically nonstop, earning and burning millions of points, and somehow still working our day jobs and putting out travel content. So, I mean, this has been a busy one. I am very excited for the honeymoon. I don't know about you.
Yeah, that excited as well. So I know this is going to air while we are on our honeymoon, but we are obviously recording this before even leaving for our honeymoon. And it's going to be interesting because we're going to talk through some of our travels and favorite trips. But honestly, I'm pretty sure it's going to be our honeymoon, which we haven't experienced yet as of this recording. So we're not going to get like super, super granular on like our exact monthly spend totals, you know, between our personal spend, our multiple businesses. I have three businesses. Taryn has one. Wedding expenses, random opportunities throughout the year to earn points. I mean, all of that would take hours to fully break down. But we do, as Taryn mentioned, want to highlight the big wins, the big lessons, and the big mistakes, or some of the mistakes that we've made. Because again, we're not perfect. And when you're juggling a lot of different things, mistakes happen in this world of points and miles. So I will start off by talking through what has happened on my side of the equation. That's going to be on card openings. So this year, I opened the new Chase Sapphire Reserve for Business. That was a 200,000 point sign bonus or sub. The Hilton Honors Aspire, 175K. We have not actually earned that yet. That sub should be probably getting complete here within the next month. We are staying, as I mentioned before, at an SLH property in Fiji for our honeymoon. I'm pretty sure with some of our upgrades, our excursions, our things we're going to do, we've got a private transfer to our next resort there as well. We're going to hit the sub on our Hilton card specifically and looking forward to that multiplier as well. We've got an Amex Business Gold that I opened, actually two of them this year, and then opened another Amex Business Platinum. I can't remember. I think it was either one or two. I believe it was just one. And then earlier this year, I got my new daily driver. So before, I was really, my daily driver was the Chase ecosystem. So I was using like the Sapphire Reserve and the Freedom Unlimited, kind of getting most of my points through there. I've pretty much transitioned to now my daily driver for the most part is the Citi Premier Strata card. That sub earlier this year was about 75,000 points. Nothing crazy, but I was realizing that it was pretty easy to earn Chase points between Taryn, myself, our multiple businesses, the payroll on credit card, which we'll talk about in just a second here. But Chase and Amex points, really, really easy to earn. Citi, not as much. So got the Citi Premier Strata card, and or I think it's actually Citi Strata Premier card. Either way, got that card and have been using that for our grocery spending. A lot of our expenses because of a multiplier there. I have an electric vehicle, so I don't do a ton of gas filling up, but when I do, I use that card as well. So a lot of different uses for that card. So that's actually what stays in my wallet pretty regularly, and I use that almost exclusively outside of when I travel. That's when I bring out the Hyatt card and some of our Chase preferred cards, the Sapphire Reserve and other things. I did at the end of last year get the Barclays Aviator Red American Airlines card, but the sub for that didn't hit for this year, until this year, I should say. And then I was able to get a retention offer for an Amex Platinum card where I think if I spent like maybe 10K or something like that on the card within 3 months, I got 25,000 Amex points. So I did keep one of my business platinums because of that. And we had the SoFi Rakuten bonus as well. So by opening up a checking account with SoFi through the Rakuten portal, was able to get 35,000 Amex points just by opening that account and having some direct deposit through there. So that was kind of the cards that I opened. We bought some Hilton and IHG points during their sales. We talked many times over this year about how buying points can be a really huge benefit and strategy in the points and miles game, especially to preserve your more transferable points like your Amex and your Chase points. So we bought 400,000 Hilton points, and that's actually the exact amount of points that we needed in order to book the night stays that we're having at the SLH property in Fiji. So that worked out perfectly. And then we also bought 400,000 IHG points as well. And so between the two of those, we bought a ton of points. Actually, let me just take a step back. We bought 480,000 Hilton points because it was 240 and then a 240 bonus. And so we paid about $2,400 for the 480,000 and $2,000 for the IHG points. Again, the value in buying points is if I can spend, in this case, $2,400 to buy Hilton points for a resort that's going to cost me $6,000 to stay at, that's an absolute win. So we always, always wait until it's 100% bonus to where basically you can buy points at half a cent each, is kind of where the math works. And if you want to learn more about buying points, we have a whole post on our blog or the episode, I believe it was in 79-ish with Travel Like Tommy, where he goes into an amazing breakdown of why buying points makes sense. And then kind of the only other major wins we had, I sold one of our rental properties that we had, and there were some closing costs, some repairs that were needed, some work that needed to be done. Put all of that on a credit card, actually. The vendors for the remodeling and some of the repair work, they allowed me to pay by credit card. Added a little bit of a fee, but the math worked out in my favor because of the points, and got some really large expenses put on those cards that were all basically made up by the profits on the sale of the property. And that was basically it. Couple of mistakes that were made. I've mentioned this before. In planning our honeymoon, actually, I was looking at trying to get to Hong Kong and saw that we could book some flights through Ethiopian Airlines through Aeroplan. So move 230,000 points to Aeroplan, and that ended up being a phantom flight, and I mentioned this before. So those points have been stuck there for the greater part of this year, and I knew we'd eventually figure out how to use them. We figured out another way to get to our honeymoon, which we're excited about, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but those points have been stuck there. Well, we have decided one of our trips for next year, which we're going to talk about in more detail, is going to be to Cappadocia and Malta, and was able to actually use those points, only 150,000 of them, to actually book a flight back from Malta. So we're excited about that. So some points I had stuck here from a mistake on my end was still able to be used, and I wasn't too worried because Aeroplan is probably one of the better places to have points stuck there. So a lot of great things on my end. Taryn, what about you? I know you are just as into the moving and grooving when it comes to the points and miles world. So what did you do this year?
I mean, I'd argue with the wedding planning that my spend might have been higher than normal.
I would say you're probably very right.
Not just on wedding stuff, but like attire and things. So I feel very fortunate that I opened a couple of different cards. So I also opened the Sapphire Reserve business with the 200,000K sub. One really cool surprise was that when using this on our wedding planning, that I was able to get 4 times per dollar through the direct hotel booking, which I didn't know I was going to be rewarded because of, you know, a lot of times you miss out on those points when you're doing something as a contract, or you know, you don't get to use your loyalty. So that was just a surprise to get the 4 times, and I promise you that added up actually really quickly. And I also opened the Amex Business Platinum this year with a $150,000 or point sub, and I have to say that, you know, I didn't have a plan on how I was going to use my fine hotel credit for the year, which I get a lot of value from all the cards, but sometimes it's hard when you can't figure out a way to make it work. Unfortunately, due to the government shutdown and FAA impact, our flight from Tulum to Miami, we basically got stuck in Miami. So I was able to use that fine hotel and resort credit at Lowe's, which is in Coral Gables, which is right by the Miami airport. And I'm going to recommend this highly because it was way nicer than I even expected, even for a fine hotel resort. And it was like a $350 stay. We ended up getting upgraded to a room with a balcony, which was really nice. We got the $300 credit for the room, plus the $100 on-site credit, and their breakfast credit there was $80, including room service, which is normally never the case. So that was great. And they also had a $10 Uber credit that you could use, but it was really nice, really cool, had a pool, always put a, you know, bathing suit in your carry-on when you're connecting, because, you know, I had to actually Instacart one from Target. So, you know, it's the one time I didn't do that, but I was really happy I got to use it. And it was one of my best uses of this in a while. And I know we both really appreciated having something to do because that impact, I know it affected a lot of people. And it was kind of a chaotic time.
For sure. And I'm going to interrupt real quick because when we first got that card, that was before the refresh to the Platinum card. And so there wasn't a fine hotel and resort credit. And of course, you already had one with your personal Platinum. But after getting this card and they refreshed it and we had this ability to use it, we didn't have a plan, as you said, to even use it. But the fact that they now have this on the card makes it, of course, another thing for us to track, which we'll get to in a moment here. But the fact that we had it there because of the refresh, again, as you said, we got an amazing stay at an incredible property that likely wouldn't have been on our radar to be at, but came out big. So that Final Tell and Resort credit, that card paid for a good portion of our overnight being stuck in Miami for 24 hours.
My bathing suit that I Instacarted from Target probably cost more than I spent on the rest of the room, actually. And that was an ordeal, but we're not going to get into that. So I opened another card as well, which is the Advantage Globe card, because we know that obviously we're huge American Airlines fans. So it is a really great card if you are also an AA traveler, because you get 5,000 loyalty points every time you fly four segments with a cap of 15,000 loyalty points for the year. But because we have to connect basically everywhere we go, one trip, basically round trip, gets us all four of those segments automatically. So this one is in progress, but we are going to hit that pretty quickly because it wasn't a very high spend to get this one. But it's a valuable card, I think, to have in the arsenal if you're, you know, an American buff like us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was wondering, because we opened that, I think, right before the trip to Tulum, Mexico. So I think the day before we actually left and activated it. And I was wondering how the segments were going to work and how it was going to count. But that one trip, four segments, boom, what, like a week or two later, you saw the 5,000 loyalty points hit your account, which is great because I think that resets on the new card year as well. So it's a complete win to already get that, or not the new card year, the new loyalty point year for American. So you got that nice boost, because if we had waited a few months before getting that card, you would have had less loyalty points for this year. And I know we're always trying to, you know, work on keeping our AA status as best as we can.
Oh, yes, obviously. Still using Advantage Dining as well as Advantage Shopping. Again, we're not getting into the granular, but those are some other ways that I definitely like to work. Although this card, actually, I feel like hits with the points faster, and that could always change. There's a lot of factors that impact that, but I do think that I've gotten like to see points faster in my account than typical, depending on vendors. And the other thing that I opened this year, just like DeAndre did, is the SoFi account with Rakuten, which gave me the 25,000 Amex points. One of my big plays was transferring 94,000 points from Amex to Hawaiian to Alaska. And, you know, this is going to give us more options for flexible, like domestic, as well as maybe random international routes, depending on where we decide we want to go. And the automatic Basque Bank earnings each month, I'm not going to do a breakdown because, you know, they changed some of this stuff. But so far, since I've opened this account, which was last year, I've earned 292,000 American Airlines miles just from having $50,000 sitting in this bank account that I have not touched, which I love the miles. So keep them coming. And then, yeah, I mean, I had to kind of prioritize based on spending with wedding planning. So, you know, the dress, the things, you know, you want to split those strategically across the different cards where, you know, we were going for subs and just, you know, where it makes the most sense. But I mean, I still feel like we, you know, arguably got quite a lot.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely fantastic. And taking a quick step back to talk about the Basque Bank, I think every time we mention this, people kind of ask like what? And full credit to you, because you actually found this, think not last year, but the year before last.
This is why a player two is important, folks.
Exactly, exactly.
You need a player two because you can't find all the things by yourself.
You are 100% right. Now, I know when you first texted me about it, I was like, oh, we're going to get executive platinum here immediately. That's unfortunately not how it works.
Yeah, not loyalty. Exactly. It's just miles, but miles are money.
Miles are money. So the quick breakdown as to why the Basque Bank makes sense for those of you who aren't familiar is, as Taryn says, you earn miles per every dollar you have sitting in the Basque Bank account, similar to yield in a high yield savings account. So it's basically a high yield savings account that's its yield is in American miles as opposed to flat dollars. Now, when we first did it, it was 2.5 miles per dollar. Now it's currently, I just looked this up, 1.5 miles per dollar.
I'll take it.
Absolutely. It doesn't seem like a huge difference, but if you do the math on that, we went from getting like 100 and basically 10,000 miles a month to
like seven.
So about 7,000 miles a month right now. So the reason why this can be a really good win, and this is where, again, this is kind of the financial advisor in me, the analytical side. So there's probably going to be a point where this doesn't make as much sense anymore. But when you compare this to having a high yield savings account that was returning back, at least, you know, last year, 4, 4.5%, maybe even 5%, is we were basically able to take trips on Qatar Airways Q Suites, so $10,000 per person tickets, so $20,000 tickets that were only 70,000 American Airlines miles. So let's just say that was the equivalent of close to a little over a year of just having this account generating miles for us over time. Now, when we get the interest statement on the Basque Bank account, the interest on let's say 50K sitting in the account over the course of the year, it registered like something like maybe $100, if that. It could be even less. Whereas if you were generating actual interest on that account, let's say you got 5% on 50K, that would be, I'm doing math on the fly here, that would be $2,500 that you actually generated an interest on that account. Well, you have to pay taxes on $2,500, which is a lot more than paying taxes on $100. And that $2,500 isn't going to buy you as much as what we were able to get with the 140,000 roughly points, essentially, or miles from American Airlines. So Basque Bank, huge opportunity, especially if you're an American traveler or you have some funds that you don't need just sitting in a savings account or invested. Again, look at your overall financial picture. Got to stress that enough as a financial advisor, but it absolutely makes sense for us. So I had to kind of put that plug in. But again, all credit goes to Taryn because you found this years ago.
I was going to say, it's kind of like the no kids tuition account, right? Like, except it's our travel and it's, you know, it's working for us and we don't have to touch it. And I love the miles that we're getting from it.
I love the thought process behind that. So basically, instead of our sticking that money in a 529 plan, a college fund for our kids, you suck it into an account generating mileage.
I knew you'd like that. See, I listen, babe. I pay attention.
I love that. I love that. So kind of looking at our combined points totals for this year, right? So this is very high level. We earned about 2 million points from signup bonuses for the two of us. And we earned an additional probably roughly 1.5 to 2 million through business spend, personal spend, the wedding, signup bonuses, as I mentioned already, Basque Bank, miles, shopping portals, Rakuten, all the different things. So we roughly earned somewhere north of 4 million points total this year.
Woo!
And we redeemed about 2.2 million across all of our redemptions for this year. And to clarify, 600,000 of those points that we redeemed came from our purchase Hilton and IHG points also. So our total travel value we redeemed this year was $55,000. Now, this is actually lower for us than normal. We're usually closer to like 100K, but again, guys, we had a whole wedding.
And we didn't go on our big trip yet.
Yeah, exactly. We had a whole wedding and other things, but including, this is actually including our honeymoon coming up, we've only paid a total of $840 in fees. So we redeemed all those points, paid only $840 in fees for this year.
That's wild.
And we've got $55,000 worth of travel value in points. Now, again, a little bit of a lower year for us. So that average, our average redemption this year ended up being about 2.34 cents for the year across the entire year. That's normal than my usual 5 to 6, but there's two reasons. A, wedding. B, we don't have that many long haul trips because we really only have the one, and that's going to be our upcoming honeymoon, which is factored into these numbers. But usually we have a couple long haul trips, a couple kind of aspirational flights like a Q Suites or something along those lines. But that was what we were able to accomplish. And I'd say, Terry, I mean, seeing as we had a whole destination wedding to plan, we still ended up pretty all right this year.
I'm shocked I was able to balance and juggle all the things, to be honest. I mean, and we had help, obviously. Mario, we have a whole episode breaking down why it's important to have help. And without him and his team, like, I can't even imagine where we would have been. And frankly, like, I think that it really worked for us knowing the strategy, even though we haven't gotten to, like, you know, enjoy the fruits of our labor, which is this trip that's upcoming in our big honeymoon. So we're going to get that. We're just so close.
Hey, everyone. Quick break from the episode. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. And if you've gotten any value so far, it would mean the world if you left a quick rating or review. It helps more people discover the show and keeps us motivated to keep creating great content. Also, if you're feeling stuck or want help with points and miles, whether it's picking your first card, planning a big redemption, or even having someone book it all for you, we've got you covered. There's a link in the show notes to schedule a free points and miles consultation. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, tell us your goals, and we'll take it from there. And don't forget, our newsletter and private Facebook group are great ways to stay on top of breaking news, updated card offers, and tips that don't always make it into the podcast. You'll find those links in the show notes as well. Now, back to the episode. Absolutely, which I think is a perfect segue because, again, we're recording this before our honeymoon. And for those who don't know or aren't following us on Instagram and our stories, which you should be because we're going to be putting it all out there as we typically do in some of the really cool places we're doing and all the cool things we're doing. Hong Kong, Fiji, New Zealand is our honeymoon. And this should be coming out around the time that we're getting to New Zealand. And so stay tuned there because we're doing something that Taryn and I have never done before on a trip, which is we're renting an RV in New Zealand. And part of our roughly 2 weeks in New Zealand is going to be us driving up from the South Island back to the North Island before flying back home in an RV. Two fun facts. A, they drive right side driver there. And B, I've never driven an RV. So I'm a very confident driver, but we're going with never driving in an RV and right side driver at the same time. It's going to be an adventure. Stay tuned to see how it all unpacks.
You did mopeds in Rome. You can do anything. You've driven in Oman. I know you can. You got this, babe.
I appreciate it. Taryn's the one that has always had the vote of confidence. The mopeds in Rome.
That was scary. That was probably really scary,
actually. That was scary. That was actually before the podcast ever came out. So I don't think that ever came out. If we ever talked about that trip on an episode.
I think we did.
Maybe we did. Maybe we highlighted it still. But it was, yeah. It was terrifying. By the end, I was like weaving out of cars in between traffic and I was like a pro. But the first like an hour on this thing, I was like, I am going to get us killed. But we didn't. We survived to live another day. And we had, as our moped rental guy said, a vacanza romana, Roman holiday, and gave us a nice magnet that was Audrey Hepburn, right, on it?
Yes, of course it's Audrey Hepburn. Roman holiday, honey. See, this is more of like my kind of thing, but you know, he nailed it.
So, again, we're going to have a full breakdown episode on that. So stay tuned for that in a few weeks. But let's talk about some of the trips that we've taken this year. We're actually going to talk through all the trips because we have episodes on basically all of these trips, but just kind of highlight at a high level. We had New Year's Eve in Mexico City. We stayed at the Hyatt Zilara Rose Hall in Jamaica, Montego Bay. That was for one of my best friend Julian's weddings. Taryn and I went to TravelCon, and that was in Tucson, Arizona. And that was a really cool travel conference that's helped us kind of level up what we are able to bring back to you all. Taryn, I know you had your bachelorette party in St. Augustine, which I know we're going to get the highlights here. So we're not even going to we'll delay. Yeah. And then I had my bachelor party in Vegas. We went to the Dominican Republic twice. Once was for our site visit and the wedding itself. And then one of our favorite places in the world to go back to, Tulum, Mexico, which we're going to have an episode talking about the secrets to Tulum where we stayed at there, because I think that's a fantastic, fantastic resort. I did a trip to Beaver Creek, Colorado, and that stayed at the Park Hyatt there, which was a beautiful ski in and ski out property. And again, we have a bunch of Hyatt, SLH properties, and others coming up for our honeymoon. And so a lot of really cool, exciting things coming up.
And some non-point luxury stays on this trip as well. This is not going to just be all points, people.
Exactly. There's a lot of things that are not points. We have an incredible resort we're staying at. And the RV was not a points play. We just paid for it. But, you know, that's the balance. We don't just do all of our travels just points-based. Points open up our budget and what we can do and allow us to do many things that we probably wouldn't consider otherwise because we probably would have spent too much money on our hotels and flights otherwise.
I completely agree. I think that it really opens up and we can do so much more because we play with points.
Absolutely. Now, I would usually like to have a kind of recap of some of top flights and stays and those type of things. And we're going to do that. But I think the top flights of the year, we don't really have much to talk about yet because
they are to come. They are yet to come.
Exactly. They are yet to come. We are flying Singapore Air Business Class on one of the longest flights in the world. And that is from JFK to Singapore.
And I love Singapore Air.
Yes. Oh,
that was so good. So good.
Yes, Singapore Airlines has always been a fantastic experience. We're flying Fiji Air business class from Hong Kong to Fiji. That's actually a 10-hour flight. And then our flight back from New Zealand, from Auckland, was booked through Qantas, but it's an American Airlines flight business class from Auckland straight to DFW, which is probably going to be one of our most efficient ways back from any trip we've ever had from business class, not bouncing all over to 15 stops before we're getting back to the States.
I was going to say, we're not doing 5 stops.
No, we're not doing that again.
I mean, we did do also like 5 lounges, but you know, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at less stops.
Yeah. When I saw this open up, I don't remember what we had booked. I canceled that to make this one happen, which was exciting. And so super excited about all of those. So we're not going to talk about our flight specifically, but let's talk top destinations. And Taryn, I'll let you start.
And we're talking just about the year, correct?
Correct. Yep. So overall, what would you kind of highlight as one of your favorite destinations for 2025 so far?
I mean, I feel like you already know the answer, and it's going to be Casa de Campo, where we got married, and where you have Caribbean and, you know, Europe and all of these, everything you could want on one property. I mean, and I understand your top destination is probably more of like a place, a country, but I'm going to just give it to Casa de Campo because I would definitely go back, and I love the food. Experience vibes, the service was spectacular, and they left me like with nothing I could want more.
So to be fair, I had meant to put in the notes top destination that's not the wedding, but I completely forgot.
You did not put that in the notes, so
so I'm gonna have to just roll with that. That's completely it. Okay.
Otherwise it would be Mexico City because food.
Yeah, Mexico City. Okay, Mexico City. So Mexico City for the food.
If the wedding doesn't count, then it was definitely Mexico City.
Okay, got it. So excluding the wedding, so I'm going to be very clear, I'm making sure that the wedding is excluded in this point. I'm not getting myself set up for everyone to listen to. Okay, excluding the wedding, I was going to say probably, and this is going to cover probably not this destination, but hotel stays, I'm probably going to say Roatan.
Yeah. That was really fun.
Yeah, the Kimpton Grand Roatan, which actually I think I forgot the list in our trips taken this year when I just was going through the list.
Oh yeah, you did.
But yeah, the Kimpton in Roatan was amazing. I think Roatan surprised us for a lot of reasons. One, just the vibes of it from one part, the food, the culture, the fact that it was probably one of the closest things we felt to like being in the Maldives in certain aspects, especially with the marine life, not with big whale sharks, of course, or manta rays, but the clarity of the water and how the fishes were. So I think Roatan is going to be my take for this year.
I mean, we are going to go back, so I can't argue with that.
Absolutely. So now in hotel stay wise, I kind of already answered that because I think the Kimpton Grand Roatan was fantastic. What would you say, Taryn, was your favorite hotel stay of the year?
Oh, is the wedding not allowed again?
The wedding is not allowed again.
I'm just checking. This is hard.
I mean, you really love that foam party at Secrets Tulum.
That was really fun. But then I'm thinking about like rooms and the Hyatt Zilara. That room that we ended up in was pretty sweet. And I really liked having like the late night.
The 3 a.m. jerk chicken.
Well, early morning jerk chicken. Yeah, that was so good. So that's a hard one because I feel like that like surprised me. I didn't expect to love it as much as I did. And not just because it's Julian and Myra's wedding, but because I actually really love the location and I love the resort. So I'm going to say that just to mix it up a little bit, even though I really love the Kimpton and I do want to go back there. I'm going to give it to the Hyatt Zilara because it surprised me in a lot of really great ways. And I actually would love to go to another one of their properties now.
I would agree. It was a fantastic property. Obviously, the Jamaican energy and flair added to it in a lot of different ways, but it really was very unique. And we talked about, we had a whole episode where we talked about it. But I think the fact that it says a lot that as us who love the adults only kind of no kids travel, we were there for a wedding in a group setting, but we had no issues and were having fun staying more on the family side where everyone else was, as opposed to being like, oh man, I really wish we could stay on the adults only side because of they still had great music, they had great vibes, great energy. And also, I mean, the jerk chicken stand that's open until 3 a.m. is actually on the family side, but it didn't feel like you had to leave where you were. Like, it was all so well connected. I thought it was done really well.
Yeah, they had everything you needed right there on both sides. And if you wanted a break, as you said, from the family area, we had that, but we spent it with the on the family side and had the best time. So that was a surprise for me. And I think I have to give them points for that.
So let's move on to favorite food experience of the year. That's also not wedding related.
I understand the rules now. I'm going to say hands down Mexico City every meal. Like, I wish I could even narrow it down and to say like just the taco tour, which was spectacular. But like every meal we had in Mexico City was just incredible, whether it was like street fare, Michelin star, everything in between. I mean, it's probably the best food I think I've ever had consistently on any trip anywhere in my entire life. And my pants didn't fit at the end. So I'm Mexico City, you've got this one hands down, in my opinion.
Yeah, I will say I learned on that trip that I think if we do something like that again, like a Mexico City, a Paris, whatever it may be. So we stayed at a Andaz, so a Hyatt property. As globalists, we had breakfast included every single day, which was nice from a kind of value or cost standpoint. But we wanted to venture out and have food and pay for said food in different breakfast places and cafes more than like in the hotel. It was still good in the hotel, but it was such a foodie area that I learned that, you know what, the relying on maybe staying at a Hyatt property specific for the free breakfast in a place known for food, I wouldn't give as much weight to. And I recommend that to you listeners as well, that if you maybe have the opportunity to use a member of honor or certificate or be a globalist, not saying you shouldn't by any means, especially if you're looking at your budget and such, but if you really love the foodie experience, getting out into the town or the city, like maybe even like a Tokyo, something like that, where food is just known to be super high quality everywhere you go, I would reconsider that, because that's definitely changed my perspective when we left the Mexico City.
Yeah, I think that's the only time that you weren't just like super excited about the free breakfast, because it was like, well, imagine what we could get if we walk a block. And then we did. And it was so affordable there too. So it's sort of like, why would we do that again? Honestly, in a place that's so good with food and it's so affordable. It's not like a Paris where if you want to go to a high-end bistro, it's going to cost more money.
I would agree with that. And not just the food. Incredible bars and cocktails as well. And we have this streak that tends to be going because we keep ending up in the place where the number one bar in the world is. And that's something else that you got me into, Terrence. I'll actually just, that's not in our notes to talk about, but I'll throw that your way.
It's not. I love it. I've been following 50 best bars, and we stumbled across this when we were in Barcelona, is where I first kind of figured it out. It was like telling me about Party So, which was the number one bar in the world at that time while we were there. And I was like, we have to go here. It's the number one place. Like, why would we not go? It's right here. And it was probably still my favorite of all of the bars in the entire list. Not to say there aren't some other standouts. I'd say Handshake Speakeasy, which was in Mexico City, but like that is the theme, is that we end up already going to the place and then one of the bars there shoots up to number one. So we are definitely planning to visit this year's number one, which I'm going to hold back on mentioning because I don't want to spoil anything. And I also don't know if we can make it happen. I mean, we just got to see. It's, you know, it's hard getting in.
But it is on one of the places that we're going to be going to. So we'll see if we can make it happen.
We're going to try. We're going to do our best.
We will do our best. So great, great food experiences. I would probably mimic exactly what you said. I can't really think of better than Mexico City. Mexico was absolutely fantastic. The only thing, and maybe it's some recency bias that kicks in, that actually was also in Mexico, though, was in Tulum. We had two really, really incredible food experiences, one of which being Arca, which you had got us reservations at, which is not only part of 50 Best Bars, but also 50 Best Restaurants and Michelin Guide. And if you can imagine those three all in one place, you can kind of imagine what type of experience you're going to get. And it's right there on the Tulum Strip.
I was in heaven. It was so great. I highly recommend it.
All right, so let's move on and let's just talk again, wedding isolated, right? Because we have to kind of put this parameter on everything else. This would check everything off. Let's just name one of your favorite experiences of the year. I could easily say nothing because the wedding was so amazing and we haven't had our honeymoon yet, but an amazing, amazing experience. I know you had some really cool stuff that you ladies did on your bachelorette party and such. So what would you say for you is one of your highlight experiences of the year?
Again, this is really difficult because in a year where our wedding, I feel like, was at the forefront of almost everything that we did, including the bachelor and bachelorette party, you know, like that's about the wedding, technically. This is a difficult decision to make. I'm not going to lie. I know you didn't ask about food again, but I am a foodie and I am still going to give it back to Mexico City because I loved every bite while I was there. And it was just so much more to the city and the history and the culture. And learning about that, even on the food tour, I thought was just so cool. It's very different than so many other aspects and locations in Mexico. The culture, the people, if the wedding's not allowed, then I'm going to give it to Mexico City.
So I will resonate with that. However, I didn't say the bachelorette wasn't allowed. I'm surprised you didn't say cafe there that you were so eager about.
I love animals, as you know, but the food in Mexico City was next level, babe. I know it's apples and oranges, okay? These are not the same things. They're different. And I feel like who can keep up with the game of food caliber? It's such a high level in Mexico City where everything was spectacular. And I feel like it's hard to compare that to anything that anyone does anywhere else, or at least that we did this year.
No, I can completely understand your sentiment. I know how much you love good quality food, so I get that. No worries at all. So transitioning from myself, I would say, I mean, we had a lot of incredible trips. I think Mexico City, because of the caliber of the food, I mean, tacos in so many different forms as well. So to be different, I will mention on the bachelor trip that we had in Vegas, something that was super unique. I mentioned this on the episode where we talked about it, was that one of my financial planning clients, who's a former Navy SEAL, he was in the military when I started working with him. He's gotten out since, and he started a firearms training academy out in Vegas. And in that academy, he trains basically bodyguards for CEOs, for special forces, all sorts of individuals. And he met up with me and the rest of the guys, and we actually had essentially training with him, and he brought a Green Beret in to basically kind of give us some hands-on firearm trainings in the desert in Vegas. And that was a really, really unique and interesting thing to do. And it's something that all the guys in the group couldn't stop talking about, the level of knowledge he had, the training, the conversation. Just no matter what we did the rest of the trip in Vegas, we kept talking about how amazing that was. So I think that was probably one of the more unique experiences that I had for the year. But I would also say that when it comes to being with you, it was absolutely Mexico City as well. That was just a fantastic, fantastic trip. That was our actually New Year's trip for last year. And Not unfortunately, but New Year's ended up being the least exciting thing about Mexico City for us. It was all the other things. It was New Year's wasn't actually that popping, if you want to call it, when it comes to Mexico City, as we thought it would be. But the rest of the experience, the food was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So as we start to wrap this up here a little bit, what are we looking forward for to in 2026? Obviously, we've talked about the honeymoon enough. We do already have Globalist secured. So I'm actually close to 70 nights, I think. At the end of the honeymoon, I should be at 70 nights. So Globalist and some already secured. We're both working on maintaining our American Airlines statuses as well. I typically am going for Platinum Pro. Taryn is always at least Platinum, if not Platinum Pro as well. So that's something that we're always pushing for. Those are kind of our two big statuses that we push for to maintain. Through IHG and Hilton, we have the cards that give us status for those. So don't really try to make any changes or any mattress runs or pushes for there. Do plan to buy as many points as we can, max out on those 100% bonuses as well for both of those. So when the opportunity comes, we will buy some points. And if we use them next year, great. If not, we'll just store them in our bank for when we are ready to use them for future trips. And then we have a few trips booked already, doing my annual snowboarding trip that's going to be in the Grand Hyatt in Vail. As I already mentioned earlier, we've got Cappadocia, Malta, and then on our way back from Malta, we have a stopover in Zurich for 2 days. And that's honestly because that's how the points played out to get us back to JFK efficiently. And I am planning on getting that American Airlines Globe card that we talked about also that Taryn has. So that's on my radar to get. And then maybe either the Mesa card or the Bilt Homeowners card. Mesa has not worked for me yet. I've been working, talking with our team to figure out why that's the case, but we'll see. If not, maybe the Bilt card when it comes out for homeowners as well. And from there, we'll kind of figure out between the Amex offers we get, Chase offers we get, kind of the rest is to be determined. So That's basically all the things that we have planned as of this point. I know, Taryn, you and I were kind of also good at being like, hey, you want to go to Africa next week and we just kind of figure it out? You know, there's memes about that where it's like, hey, this is like, you know, your friends with no kids. That's how they ask, like, hey, you want to go to the Bahamas this weekend? So we have plenty of things that we don't always plan out very far in advance. I think most of our trips outside of this honeymoon, we've planned maybe 2 to 3 months out, or even started to plan 2 to 3 months out. So that's why we don't have a large list of things booked for 2026 yet. But Taryn, any final thoughts you have on recapping 2025 or what's to come for 2026?
For 2025, again, if you missed our wedding episode and you're getting married, I highly encourage you to tune in to that one, especially if you're considering a destination wedding, because there was so much stuff I did not know that I learned in this process. And yeah, I mean, it definitely flipped our year on travel on its head, I think, from any other traditional year, because, you know, we had so many other things going on and so much planning. But yeah, it was a fantastic year.
Absolutely. I would agree as well. So for all of you listeners, thank you for being with us this long. Thank you for being on the journey with us. Thank you for being willing to revolutionize the way that you travel as well. Really appreciate each and every one of you. And also want to encourage you to set intentional travel goals for 2026. Even just one big trip is doable with the right plan, with points, and you can really open up a world of wonder for yourself, for your family. And if you don't have your P2 yet, find your P2. It doesn't have to be a significant other. It can be a friend who wants to travel and loves to travel as well. And if you find someone that they're like, I don't really know about this points and miles and card world, hook them up with our podcast, with our show, with our WhatsApp community. They will be more than warmly welcomed. And again, really, really appreciate all of you being with us.
Yeah, you should get your dive buddy to be your player too. So we want to give you a huge heartfelt thank you for an incredible year of support. If you learned something today or throughout the year or anything from us, please drop us 5-star ratings and reviews to help us continue to grow the show for you guys and provide more information. And like I haven't teased it enough, we have an incredible upcoming honeymoon and we are going to be sharing it with breakdown episodes in the future. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that, I promise. But thank you again. And as always, we'll see you on the next episode.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.